Praise the Lord. Well, Father, once again we come to You, Lord, and we acknowledge this is Your time. We are Your people, Lord, and we've come tonight to, Lord, hear from You. We want Your will to prevail and have full control, Lord. So we yield to the Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit and His presence here. Holy Spirit, we look to You again to order our steps. We proclaim we have open minds, receptive hearts tonight, Lord, for Your Word. And that, Lord, You will take this where You want it to go. And we yield to that. I yield myself to You. And, Lord, we thank You and praise You for the outcome. In Jesus' name, amen. So I imagine everybody's probably heard the verdicts on that young lady who was accused of killing her or murdering her child. And if y'all are like me, there's a real strong propensity to stir up some violent emotions inside you. But you know what? That didn't happen. I got to tell you, I'm so excited about the fact that I see God doing things in my life that I've desired. You know, I made a statement not too long ago just in kidding around. I said, one of these days I might learn to live with myself. And that's happening. Little did I know how that was a statement that came right from the heart of God, and that it was a statement from my heart to Him. And I guess we keep at this long enough, we're going to get it right, huh? Praise the Lord. So turn with me, if you will, to the first chapter of Romans, starting in verse 16. You know, when we see things like this, and I have no doubt there's more guilt there than what was recognized. But the point is, in our society, in our government, in our judicial system, one of the things that this government and what was built on, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. And through our process, unless you can be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, or you have good evidence, solid evidence, the way I see it, even though I don't like the verdict, God's justice was done there. She got in trouble for what she should have gotten in trouble. You know, the bottom line is God's going to sort it all out in the end anyway, isn't He? So why would I get upset? You know, I was telling Gene on the way in here, you know, we talked about worry. And you know, worry is one of the most useless, in fact, it is probably the most useless thought process. Well, pastime, emotional process, or thing that you can have in your life. Worry is absolutely useless. It brings no good. It has no benefit. It's something that's futile, and it's just absolutely foolish. It's a waste of your time, waste of your effort, waste of your thought processes. If God's in control, then you can rest in the fact, and I mean, listen carefully, rest in the fact that God's going to sort it all out. And I don't know anybody here that's not like I am. I don't know, they may be as violent, maybe not more violent, about their opinions about injustice and unrighteousness than I am. I have a very strong opinion about that. I hate injustice and I hate unrighteousness. But the point is, once again, we're not the judge. We're not the ones who can sort this all out, because we don't see except for just beyond our nose. That's all we see. That's all we know. We know what's in our own lives, and a lot of time we have to go to God and find out and say, God, you know, whatever it is in my life that's keeping me where I'm at or holding me back, Lord, reveal that to it. But God is the one who's going to sort it out. Bob recently preached on the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. And the bottom line is, it doesn't make any difference what anybody does, believer or non-believer. It doesn't make any difference. God has this all set out, and He's going to sort it all out in the end anyway. And justice will prevail. Why? Because He is righteousness. He is justice. Amen? We're justified only because of Him. Amen? That's the only place that justification comes from, is from Him. We were justified because we gave our lives to Him. So the things that God had against us, those handwriting of ordinances, those laws that we broke, were dealt with prior to the cross, and then it became finished. The final gavel came down at the time when Jesus said, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. Amen? So the bottom line is, once again, I just want to look real shortly here. When Bob came to me, it kind of caught me by surprise, but I'm not unequipped or ill-equipped, or should I say, yeah, whatever. We'll move right along here. I began to look at Romans, the first chapter. And I began to see and once again get very comfortable with the fact that God has got everything right where He wants it. We're not taking Him by surprise. He doesn't gasp when He hears a verdict like what happened there. by our system, it was totally righteous because of the fact that they didn't have conclusive evidence against this girl. Now, is she guilty or not? Only God knows. I think she's guilty maybe of more. This is my opinion. Doesn't mean a thing. Just my opinion. Worthless to anybody but me. And, you know, that she's probably more guilty than what we know or what they found. But they did get her for lying to the police. And I'll just say that, once again, I believe that a person who will lie to you will steal from you, and a person who will steal from you, they'll kill you. You take that for what it's worth. Reject it or, you know, meditate on it. Whatever you want to do with it. It's between you and God. Anyway, so, and I found some really powerful things in the first and second chapters of the book of Romans. And I just want to go over that a little bit tonight. I mean, this really gave me some peace. And you know, one of the things that I'm at the place in my life too is the fact that I am at such rest with things that go on around me where I never used to be. I'd get so upset. Again, worry and emotions that are just absolutely useless. They're futile. All they do is get you all worked up and you expend energy you don't need to be expending in the wrong way to expend it. Amen? We all agree with me on that? I mean, I've never anything I've ever worried about has never brought any good or changed one little thing. It's just been worry, something to stress me out. You all agree with that? Praise the Lord. Starting in verse 16, the little caption here between verse 16 and 17, or between verse 15 and 16, is just live by faith. Verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Now, one of the things that I was thinking about and meditating on as I read this and began to look at this is the fact that, you know, one of the things we, and I don't know anybody here who's ashamed, but the point is, we need to be always ready to give an answer, but we also need to go ahead and we need to be that light. And not be ashamed of the Word of God, the power of God, and who we are in Christ and our stand in Him. There are some people who shrink back, afraid of what other someone else's opinion is going to be, afraid they're going to be laughed at. Well, I would say to that they probably are really not secure in their salvation. They probably are really not secure in what God's done for them. They probably don't really totally understand it, because there's no way I can be ashamed of the one who redeemed my life, gave me salvation, took me out of made void that one-way ticket I was riding to a place I didn't want to go. Amen? So, verse 17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." If we're operating in righteousness and we're operating in being just in our faith and in our walk, then we have to trust God and know that He has everything in control. And the gospel of Christ is the power of God for salvation. And in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. And then we, as the just people, we live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen. And starting in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." Now, these people think they're skating by. O.J. Simpson, people like that. I can't tell you I know that he's guilty. I have a strong suspicion that he is guilty. But God knows. You can't hide from God. And that's one thing we always need to remember, is you can't hide from God. God knows everything. He sees everything. He is omnipotent and He is omniscient. He hears all, sees all, is everywhere. He knows everything. The devil is not. That's one of the first things you need to understand. The devil is not. He can't read your mind. He doesn't know your thoughts. Amen? Unless He's put them there because you allowed Him to. So we just need to understand that. "For the wrath of God, God's wrath will be revealed, and in His time, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And of course, if you want to, the first thing you can think about is our president, who I believe has a knowledge of the truth, but doesn't walk in it. He has an agenda for whatever reason, and his agenda is what he's going to push. I don't know, maybe he can't help himself. And I can understand that because he's not a Christian. He doesn't act like a Christian. There's no fruit in him or in what he says to prove that he is a man of God. And I think we can all safely agree on that. But that's God's business, not mine. I just know that I'm not willing to listen to too much he says. Okay? I think the Bible calls him, and this is the pronouncement of the Word of God, not me, a hypocrite and a liar. And we'll let God, again, sort that out. Suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Anytime you suppress the truth, you're walking in unrighteousness. Bottom line. Whether you just don't agree with the truth, or whether you just have a differing opinion of what the truth is, or the truth that you know, or whatever, it's unrighteousness. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. All God's people, what God has manifest comes through the people of God who are living their lives and serving Him and walking with Him. For since the creation, the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. One of the things you need to understand, we need to always remember, is the fact that those people who walk in ungodliness, walk in unrighteousness, and walk in false beliefs, wherever they came from, however they got there, they understand, and that's why they're without excuse, the invisible attributes of God. Every man in him has a conscience, which God put there, and every man knows the difference between right and wrong, lying and cheating, stealing, murdering. Amen? They all know the consequences. But some of them choose to do wrong instead of standing in right. Okay? But since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, and I didn't get a chance to look up that word, I'd be very interested to know what that means, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Every man's without an excuse. These people are going to stand, and they're going to. And you know, it's amazing to me. Excuse me, how they try to suppress God, get God out of the way, because we all know the Bible says their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil, ungodly. Amen. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Every man has a knowledge of God. You know, you see that especially when you're in war. You know, everybody here has probably heard the statement, there's no atheists in foxholes. And so verse 21 says, although they knew God, they knew about God, they knew He was there, they knew the right and wrong, they knew that God was the author of right and wrong, the author of right, not wrong, they did not glorify Him. They wouldn't give Him the credit. They wouldn't serve Him. And they weren't thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish heart, and then their foolish hearts were darkened in that futility of thought. These people are chasing something that is absolutely futile. They're not going to win. They're not going to prevail. No matter what you think or what you see, they're not winning and prevailing now. They're having a day, but that day is soon ended. What does the Bible says? Life's but a vapor. Amen? Just a moment. A fleeting. You know, here today and gone tomorrow. These people professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed animals and creeping things, idols, idolatries. And I can tell you, anybody who's not walking with God in the church, their life is full of idols. Full of idols. Amen? Full of idols. They worship all kinds of things. And it may not be worship as they know it, as we know it, but the point is, that's where their focus and their attention is. So that is what they're worshiping. Amen? No man can serve two masters. Amen? Therefore, in verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And this goes through and talks about some of the main things that I have absolute affinity against. Again, that's just me, and that's because of my experience with it. Not in it, but with it. I think you all know what I'm talking about. Verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So be it. Now, you probably all heard me, and you probably maybe have some of the same opinions, but the people who are tree huggers and people who have animals, who worship those animals, who treat those animals like humans, it's not wrong to have an animal. It's not wrong to love an animal. But there's a line that I believe you can cross. Again, my opinion. So there's no condemnation. There's no judgment involved. But the point is, you get to the point where even in yourself, when you deny the things of God and the truth of God, you're beginning to exchange the lie. And again, this is not an accusation against anybody here. This is a statement about what we see around us in this day and age. You begin to worship the creation, which is yourself, as much as anything out there that you desire that's ungodly, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Okay? The Creator is blessed forever, and we are blessed forever as long as we serve Him. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Well, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a scholar to figure out what God's talking about there. The things that are happening to people who are involved in this kind of ungodliness are suffering the things that they brought on themselves. They're suffering the calamity that Satan is absolutely the author of. All kinds of diseases, maladies, sexual diseases or maladies. And my goodness, once again, you know, my mama used to say it's a dumb dog that bites itself. You know, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you know what? It's not even that it seems right. They become reprobate in their minds because they seek the things that are not of God. And finally, those things become the truth that they live in, which is a lie. And now they're really deceived. And that's where the reprobateness of mind comes from. Again, we've probably covered that many times. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. God loves them. He loves them. There's no question God loves them. And He has a plan for them. But once again, it's one of those situations where He says, and how many times would I have gathered you as a hen gathered her chicks, but you would not. You would not. So they're receiving their own judgment on themselves. What they're doing is bringing judgment on them, and they're receiving that judgment. Every day we hear more and more debasement in the world, murders, children, things like that, and it's basically the judgment of God. I mean, and they're bringing on themselves the judgment of God that they're receiving on themselves. They're in a place that's not good. Being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. Sounds like Galatians, doesn't it? When it talks about the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. These people stand up and act righteous, but there's no righteousness in them. You can't have righteousness in you when the righteous one doesn't dwell in you. It's not possible. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, God's righteous judgment is what comes on the scene. And here's what he says about it all. It's in his hands. It's not something we should be concerned about, except to make sure we're walking the way we need to walk and trusting God. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. Whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Now, there's two things that I want to bring out here. First of all, that's our judgment against those people. It's not our business. We're not in control of their lives. We can't control their lives. All we can do is control our own. But the point is, they also bring judgment on themselves because of the fact that they understand and they have a conscience that they violate. And when they violate that conscience, pretty soon the conscience doesn't operate anymore. It's like you're riding around in your vehicle with a brake on, and all of a sudden you got no brake because you burn it up. And I want to tell you something. One of the most scary things you can ever experience is either seeing or being in a vehicle that has lost its brakes. I remember a guy one time, just after they brought out the new, this is many years ago now, several, probably 10, 20 years ago now, they brought out the new International Pro Eagle Series trucks. And here was this guy, and I'm guessing, I don't know for a fact, because I don't know the man. Here he is coming down Interstate 70 towards Denver. Brakes just on fire, smoking on fire. You know that he had no clue what he was doing. The manual says you're supposed to go use one gear lower or the same gear going down a hill that you went up the hill in. He didn't have a clue what he was doing. I bet he came right out of school. This is just something I think about. I bet he just came out of school and had no clue what he was doing. Thought those brakes were going to hold him back. Well, I'm sorry. I remember one time sitting down here on Hampton Avenue right there with that, if any of you are familiar with that, Gasomat is. Right about, I don't know, somewhere just to the east of Lowell Boulevard. And I saw a school bus in there. And I pulled in there to get gas in my truck. I didn't have a trailer, I just had the tractor. Pulled in there to get gas in my truck just in time to look over and see the brakes fall right off of that bus. Stink, oh my goodness. Stunk terrible. That guy had burned those brakes up on that bus. This is a school bus, mind you, because he had no clue what he was doing. Didn't pay attention to the manual. You know, it's funny how we got these things right in front of us that are there for our benefit, for our safety, and for our good, and we ignore them. And you know, it's funny that when you ignore God, it usually carries over into the things around you. I can't tell you how many times I've seen, experienced, or watched people who get in an officer's face for writing them a ticket for speeding or doing something stupid, and all they can do is think that, well, I'm not a criminal. Why aren't you out arresting the drug dealers and things like that? Well, you know, if you violate the law and put other people in jeopardy, you are a criminal. I'm sorry. I don't care what you think. It's the truth. The point is, the way God sees you, you know, I'd rather be a criminal in society than a criminal against God. And you know what I mean by that. I don't mean, you know, criminality is not a thing. But you know what? How much of what we do, how much of what we see, even in the church, is criminal in God's eyes? Meaning we're violating His laws. We're violating His truth. Amen? And we're causing detriment to the kingdom of God. Something to consider maybe, huh? Hallelujah. You who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth. He is truth. So whatever judgment He has is truth. It's righteous and it's just. Against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those who practice such things, and judging the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Man, I'll tell you, that's one of the things that I struggled with in my walk in my early Christian life, and even up until recent years. Times when I had an opinion, I was going to give it, whether you liked it or not, and no matter whether it was going to cause harm, and that was unrighteous, that was unjust. Because as I did that, I wasn't winning those people to Christ, I was causing them to turn away, and causing them not to see the real Jesus, but to see an angry man or a man with his opinions that really were not helpful to anybody, even to himself. Can you all relate to that? You know, it's amazing how much peace I have now, and see, no matter what it is, no matter what happens, that God's going to sort it out, and it's all going to, it's nobody's going to get away with anything. I don't care what they think, they're not getting away with anything. God sees it, He knows what's going on, and they will pay the price if they don't repent. My prayer is that they will come to repentance and serve the Lord. I don't want to see anybody perish. But unfortunately, some people just will not do what's right, no matter what. And they'll do wrong in spite of the fact that it's going to bring them harm and you know, judgment. I don't understand that kind of thinking. Thank God our minds have been renewed. We now have the mind of Christ. And we realize the muck and the mire that God has delivered us and saved us out of. Amen? And we're not. I'm not going back there, and I know you're not either. They're not going to escape the judgment of God. Or do you despise the riches in verse 4 of chapter 2? The riches of His goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. See, the goodness of God leads them to repentance. All they can see and all they know because of religion and the things that they've been experienced from other people and people like myself who used to sit in judgment over those people, saying, you know, pointing a finger and saying, boy, I'll tell you what. Or, you know, how many have ever heard somebody say, maybe even says to themselves, you're going to get yours. okay. Just remember, you're going to get yours too. Thank God we know what we're going to get. Amen. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. But in accordance with your hardness, and your impenitent heart, you are... Now, I found this interesting that they use this word, the English word, treasuring up for yourself. And I've almost ventured to say, if you look that up, you'd find out that it means laying up or setting aside treasures for your... wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. See, there again, one of the things that I have been guilty of, let me put it that way, is expending energy in things that, again, I have absolutely no control over. The only thing in my life that I have control over, that I have a right to correct or discipline in my life, is me. Well, let's just cut the chase. Is me. That's the only thing I have the right to deal with. And once again, I can't tell you I understand this. If one of you has an understanding, would you please share with me before we leave tonight? I can't understand this, but all I know is when you do what God wants you to do, when you even receive... The Bible tells you even to be at peace with your enemies. Even says bring your enemy in. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but y'all know what I'm saying. So that when the day of trouble comes, your enemy may be the very one who gives you shelter and comfort during whatever situation is looming on the horizon. Amen? So the thing is, you know, I think they say keep your friends close but your enemies closer. You know, you never know. I heard a police chief say one time, in fact he was from Canada, he said he went on television, this was played many times, they were talking about the gun laws in the United States and things, and he flat said, he was going against the government of Canada, saying, I'm not going to arrest these people for having or carrying guns that are law-abiding citizens. It may be me or one of my officers that get saved, or get, you know, saved by their actions of helping me out with some kind of a perpetrator. Well, anyway, I don't want to get off on that, but the point is, that's just, you know, again, consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you're thinking, and think about what's going on. And always remember, and this is something that has brought great peace to me, is knowing that God is in control and that nothing gets by Him, and righteousness will prevail in the end. It may not be right in front of our eyes right this moment, but there's coming a day when all of these things that are done in secret, the Bible says, God will shout them and reveal them from the housetops. Amen? So they're going to get it. So why am I worried? Why am I fussed about what's going on around me? Except that I want the things that pertain to the life and godliness of people. People turning to the Lord, getting saved, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and their lives changing for the better. So that they can reach out and touch, the word escapes me. Anyway, touch other lives. So the point is, I don't understand this, but if I live the right way, then others are going to see it. God's light is going to shine through you and I, and they're going to get touched by our lifestyle, not all of our words. Now, we know that words are important and that our words have to help, and you know, when people ask us. But the point is, more than anything in out there, is your lifestyle is what's going to prove who you are and who you serve. Amen? Verse 6, who will render to each one according to his own to his deeds? Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. That's what we're after, isn't it? Immortality. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Immortality. Going on to be with the Lord. Those who don't know the Lord, they're immortal too, but their immortal selves are going to be someplace that it's not going to be fun. And I don't believe there's going to be a whole lot of rest. How many can agree with that? But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jews first and also the Greeks. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. But as many have sinned with the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. Did you catch that? Their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves and their thoughts, accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. Bottom line is, I would encourage anyone here tonight who is struggling with anything about life, the things they see around them, the things that are happening in their own personal lives, in their families, in their jobs, in their circumstances, whatever they are, where they live or whatever. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding come into your life. Turn your thoughts to Him. Turn your eyes on Him. Trust Him. And know beyond the shadow of a doubt that He is the one who will cause everything to be absolutely set in place and all the pieces of the puzzle to come together when He calls us out of here and we sit at the judgment seat of Christ, while those who rebelled against Him and turned against Him and who did things in this life that they thought they got away with, sit at the white throne judgment of God. God sees all, He knows all. And there's nothing hidden from Him that He's not going to deal with and that He doesn't know about. He knows about it. But the thing is, He doesn't pass judgment. Jesus didn't come to pass judgment or to condemn. He came to save. All that other stuff is saved for the last day when Jesus returns, splits the clouds of glory, when the trump of God sounds, and the dead in Christ rise, and then we which are alive and remain, according to 2 Thessalonians, rise up and meet the Lord in the air. And the ending of that is, and so we will ever be with the Lord. Amen? I'll tell you what, such peace is beyond my comprehension, my ability to understand, and yet I have it, I sense it, I feel it, and I see it. And you know, people get fussed and say, well, did you see what that person did? Maybe I saw it, maybe I didn't. I don't care. The point is, God knows. I've got a full-time job, a job that will take me, once again, the rest of my life to looking after me, to make sure that I do what God wants and keeping myself straight in that respect with the help of the Holy Spirit because of the Word of God, the relationship with Him. And the rest is going to take care of itself. And once again, like I said here last Sunday, or the Sunday before last, I guess, let's just reach out and grab as many as we can and take them with us. Amen? And the only way we're going to do that is if we do what's right according to the Word. Leave all the other stuff to the Lord. I mean, we're not going to change it. We can't do anything about it except get ourselves frustrated, sick, and irritated by thinking about these things or even entertaining them by watching them on television. You know, we hear things, you know, The only reason I care about the news is to watch the weather. I want to know what's going to happen tomorrow so I know how to make my plan my day. And so anyway, just I guess the crux of the whole message tonight is just keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't look at anything else. Don't get involved with anything else except when God says, minister to that person, or God brings a situation across your path that you now have an open ability to just minister into their life, the things of God, to give them the reason for the hope that's in you and I. Amen? Circumstances and things, you know, we're never going to be at total peace with everybody, and we're never going to agree with everything that goes on around us, even if whether it's in our own families or whatever. Again, I don't quite understand all that, why you, at least in your own family, especially if you're all supposed to be serving the same God, there's the lack of peace, or there's always friction. I don't understand that, but it is what it is. But I rest even in the middle of that, you know. I'm reminded of Smith Wigglesworth, and I get the picture of a war going on. And you're sitting there in the foxhole, and you're just, I mean, all around you, bombs are exploding, and people are running through. And you're laying there sound asleep, just like nothing's going on, just like you're having a mid-morning siesta. And none of it's bothering you, because the peace of God is in your life. Amen? And if that peace is in you, then the Bible says, if they reject the peace, then just take your peace and go. Don't make comments. Don't sit and worry about it. Pray for them, Father, not for their destruction, but for their salvation. Amen? How many have ever thought about, you know, Lord, why don't you take them out of here? I have. I'm not going to lie to you. But thank God he didn't do it, because then I'd have something more that I'd have to face the Lord with, and I don't want to do that. Amen? That's impulses that are not godly. That's not love. Amen? God's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The book of Romans is an amazing book, full of good stuff, just like the rest of the Bible. Just so much good stuff in there. I'd encourage you, sit down and read the first and second chapters of the book of Romans for yourself. Just see what God shows you from that for your own life and for your own benefit. See where you fit in. See if there's a place there where you need to change. Okay? And see what revelation God gives you. I think you'd be surprised when you read it. And don't just read it through like, you know, but think about what you're reading as you read it. There are specific words in there that are key words, some of which I brought out, some of which I didn't. I was talking to a man just recently the other night. He was at my mother's house. He's been a pastor. I think he's still in the ministry, but I don't know that he's pastoring as such. But he's in a ministry right now that basically, the way I understood it, and I told him that, I said, well, that's ministry of reconciliation and restoration. That sounds like God, because that was his business. And that's what it's all about. What a thrill to be able to, having, if you ever get the opportunity, or I ever get the opportunity to meet somebody like Obama and minister into their lives and see their lives change. It may not happen overnight, may not happen instantaneously. But the point is, by you teaching truth to people, you really don't know who you're going to touch. Maybe you minister to the one who's going to minister to Obama. And I'm just using him for an example. We can think of many, many people and situations that really need the Lord. Really need the Lord. And basically, that's anybody who doesn't know him. Anybody who doesn't know him. Right? Hallelujah. I didn't have earth-shattering words to say tonight, but I think they're very important. Once again, the key to this walk with God is knowing who you are, where you are, and keeping in mind the places where you need to change. And you know what? As you change, you know one of the things that's going to happen? Is you're going to notice that the things that you thought or that you really despised are going to kind of fade away. And you're going to begin to just see through the eyes of God how God views people. That's an amazing and a cool thought to me. Thinking about the fact that I could see somebody the way God does. Not worried about what they're doing, but worried about where they're going. Amen? And that brings a lot of peace, a lot of security, and a lot of rest into my life. Once again, Scripture talks about, and I'm here to tell you that I'm not worried what man can do to me. There's things that go on all around us all the time. I'm not worried what man can do to me. We all heard about all the houses that were destroyed because of illegal fireworks where somebody thought that they were above the law or I have my rights. Well, yeah, you do. And now these people are facing consequences because of decisions they made. I recently spoke to an individual and told them they're whining and crying and having a fit about what's going on in their life. And basically I told them, I said, look, I said, you know what? It's all choices. Very first words out of my mouth as I listened to this, it's all choices. When you make the right choices, you're in a good place. When you do what you know to do, this individual, I believe, loves God. I believe they know the Lord, or they know about God, but they have no clue how to initiate the Word of God in their life. They have some wisdom, but they have no understanding in that wisdom. They read the Bible, and they just don't see the truth of it. It's not operating in their life. The power of God that allows them to walk in the truth and to stand in the truth and to see the power of God operate for them is not there. They keep running back to the same thing. And the only picture I can see, and it absolutely is amazing to me, and it hurts my heart, is to see that person, knowing the goodness that God has for them, just continue to run around the mountain. Continue to run around the mountain. And then taking on themselves the responsibility of the actions of other people, whether it's in their own family or their work or whatever, taking the responsibility. And then wondering why they're in such dire straits. My goodness. I mean, you know, another thing is other, you know, people who sit there and they look at the whole world as slanted. And they've been on this earth 40, 50, 60 years, and they don't see that the problem may be with them. That's blindness, folks. That's spiritual blindness. So the only thing we can do is live our lives according to the Word, live our lives as God tells us, and do the best we can and stay madly in love with Him in every situation. Never let our fire or our zeal go out or diminish. And watch what God does in those people's lives. I don't understand how God does it, but that will provoke people to jealousy. Provoke them to jealousy and cause them to see that they're missing something. It's not because you and I failed them, but because they didn't retain the knowledge like we just read of God in their heart. They didn't retain it. They heard about it. Oh, that's wonderful. That's for me. But then once again, it's the same thing as when I was young, as a young Christian. Man, I heard all kinds of good things, but nobody ever sat down and shared with me how to initiate those things and how to get those things operating in my life. They told me truth, but they didn't tell me the whole truth, and they didn't give me the key to start the engine that puts that in operation. And I don't want to be like that. How about you? I want to be able to see people get blessed, ministered to, see their lives change. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. Amen? Can you all agree with that? That's why we're here? Praise the Lord. And I don't care what's going on in your life, as long as you keep a heart like that, you keep an attitude like that, you're safe. You are safe. Because it's not possible to have thoughts like that in your life of caring for other people and think that you don't know God or you're in trouble with God. It's not possible. I mean, you may think that, but your thoughts are futile because you're not in trouble with God. Real love is looking to other people over and above yourself, putting yourself at the back and them at the front and doing everything you do for their good. Let me tell you something. If you really understand the Word, then you know that's exactly what God has done and is doing for you and I. Why Jesus came. And if the enemy is trying to condemn you, rebuke him. Remind him and remind yourself, God's not the author of condemnation. And that if my heart condemns me, God's greater than my heart. And that God keeps those whose mind is stayed on Him in perfect peace. What does that mean? That means, in fact, that I don't care what attack comes to the mind, what thoughts come to the mind, or what little twinge of fear or worry you get, you're secure. You are secure. God, once again, is not standing up there with a baseball bat waiting for somebody to get out of line so He can hit a home run with your puny little head. He loves you, and he's not pointing out your faults. He's pointing out the good things that he has for you. He's pointing you in the right direction, always. Once again, I experienced that very, very strongly here over the last month or so. Very strongly. Not condemning, not pointing out the mistake that I made, or that I just made, or the mistakes that I have made, but saying, not even dealing with that, just saying, Bill, this is the way we probably should go. Here's a better way. This is my way. And I'm telling you, that will put you at such peace, that things won't affect you the same anymore. They won't. Not possible. You'll be able to sit there so secure in your salvation, so secure in the knowledge of God that you have, that you'll be able to walk in freedom and liberty, which will cause excitement that will be visible to other people as you come in contact with them. Let them know where you're at and what that you have something they need, that they desperately want. And they'll begin to inquire. And you'll be able to minister that life into them that was ministered to you. That excites me. That's what I want more than anything else. There's nothing more fun to me in life. I mean, I got a lot of things that I enjoy just like you do, but there's nothing that I enjoy more, that I get more excited about, than being able to minister into somebody's life. Minister truth, peace, freedom, reconciliation, restoration into their life. Amen? Hallelujah. God's the author of that, not the author of the other nonsense. That comes from a place we don't want to have any part of, and from a person we don't want any part of. And that's why we became Christians, because we knew that we were in trouble, because we were serving that person. Amen? As we grew, we began to get that knowledge. Amen? Praise the Lord. I can't get over the fact, and we say, and I think sometimes just kind of, it's cliche, and yet it's not. I believe it's, some people really mean what they say, that, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And let's face it, your Christian walk is just like anything else in your life. What you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. Amen? And that's what I appreciate about you people, is the fact that in this house, you have a heart for God, and you're putting your all into it. Do we always do everything perfectly right? No. But we do everything as right as we can with the knowledge we have. And God wants us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. And that prosperity is in the knowledge and the walk of God. Retaining Him in our knowledge. Retaining His thoughts, His ways, and walking in those ways. And if you do that with all your heart, you can't go wrong. And what God sees when He looks at you is a person who has a pure heart, a heart that's after Him. And He's not going to reject that person for any reason. I don't remember reading anywhere in the Word, if you do everything absolutely perfectly right, no mistakes, that you're going to be saved. He took those who really needed Him, who were desperate, which is every one of us, saved or unsaved. The only difference is we have a head start because we understand as a Christian how much we need Him. How much we need Him every day. And how much more we need Him tomorrow than we did today. As you grow in the Lord, that just comes natural. Just comes natural. That's part of Him increasing and us decreasing. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to just encourage you, as long as your heart is fixed on Him and you desire to serve Him, a person who's not going to make it to heaven does not have those kind of thoughts. They cannot have those kind of thoughts. It's not possible. So if your heart's after God and you love God, you don't ever have to worry. Ever, ever, ever. Listen to me. Ever, ever, ever have to worry about where your destination is or whether or not God loves you or you're saved. You are. It's not possible to have thoughts like that and love the Lord and know Him. Praise God. How should say amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we love You. We thank You for this time again, Lord. Lord, this may not have been eloquent, but I believe it was prosperous in the fact that your word was sent out, Lord. And now we trust, Holy Spirit, that you'd seal your word, not my thoughts, but your word in the hearts of these people. It is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And we thank you for what it's going to accomplish, Lord. We thank you for changes. Pray that people were, once again, edified, built up, exhorted, and comforted in Jesus' name. Now go with your people. Continue to bless them, Lord. And we look forward to getting together with you again corporately on Sunday, Lord. But we also look forward to our rides home tonight, Lord, our day tomorrow, and the rest of the week being in your presence. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and praise you and thank you. Give you all the glory. Amen.